Today's episode of Young and Profiting is sponsored in part by Yahoo Finance, Indeed, and Shopify. Yahoo Finance is the number one financial destination. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. Attract, interview, and hire all in one place with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at indeed.com/profiting. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you grow your business. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/profiting. As always, you can find all of our incredible deals in the show notes.
There's been a big collapse of trust in the market because over the last year, there were more business closures than, you know, the last probably 10 years. If you look at the chart of business closures, it's a hockey stick to the moon.
An international best-selling author.
She is the CEO of the Unstoppable Entrepreneur Company. She is seen in media outlets across the country.
She is a business strategist, mentor, and coach.
I found that what has happened in the online space is a lot of people that are teaching business, they don't have depth and breadth of experience. And so what happens is they know their one thing. And when their one thing tilts off a little bit, they're screwed, their clients are screwed, and now everybody's screwed. So my focus is that when I'm teaching business, I can teach from a very well-rounded perspective of what's right for this person sitting in front of me, not what's the one thing I recommend because it's the only one thing that I know, right? And that is a very, very, very important distinction for people to understand when they're choosing to learn business from someone.
And I've heard you say lately that you feel like the marketplace is like really shifting.
What I mean by that is that brands that are really focused on continuity, trust building, consistency, core messaging, values, a lot of people feel like they know what to expect from a brand. They feel a lot safer investing. And that's why the most valuable thing that an entrepreneur or business owner can focus on is.
Young and Profiters, welcome back to the show. And today I have the honor of interviewing one of my all-time favorite entrepreneurs and marketers, and that's Kelly Roach. If you haven't heard of Kelly, she's an author, a speaker, a podcaster, and an amazing entrepreneur. She's built over 8 different multi-million dollar businesses. She's one of the most accomplished and successful online entrepreneurs in the world. So I know today is going to be jam-packed with amazing information. She last came on for episode number 155, where we talked about her conviction marketing framework. Now, this is a conversation that I constantly go back to for my own business. So if you want her 101 on conviction marketing, I highly recommend that all entrepreneurs go check out episode number 155, our first interview together. Today's conversation is going to be more general entrepreneurship advice from Kelly. We're going to talk about how to create a business that is prioritizing your family, how to pick the right spouse if you want to be an entrepreneur. We're going to talk about sales, how the market is shifting, and then also we'll touch on her live launch method. So without further ado, Kelly, welcome to Young and Profiting Podcast.
So excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited for this conversation. So the last time I had you on was actually 2 years ago. I feel like that conversation was just yesterday because I'm constantly reflecting back on everything you taught about conviction marketing. So thank you for being on the show, and I can't wait to hear all the gold that's going to come out of your mouth today.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Our interactions have been so beautiful, and there's just so many synergies between the way that you teach and the way that I teach and what we do and the overlap. So I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, and I've got to pick your brain on so many different topics related to selling and launching and starting a family-focused business and all this great stuff that we didn't get a chance to talk about last time.
Yeah.
And so before we did that, for anybody who missed the conversation and didn't get your backstory, I did want to touch on that. I know that you actually didn't grow up wealthy. There's a lot of kids in your family. You guys grew up on the poverty line. So talk to us about that. Talk to us about the hustle that instilled in you over the years.
Yeah. In my first book, I wrote about a story called Naked in the Lunch Line. And it was the story of how I was on the free lunch line and all of the cafeteria helpers knew that. But one day there was a volunteer there that didn't know that. And this was back in the day when you turned in an envelope and mine was empty every day. And she ripped it open in front of everyone in the line. And I just completely panicked. And that was probably my low point of embarrassment and feeling really naked, right, in that moment. And I think that was a defining moment of my life because I was like, yeah, I don't ever want to feel that again. And I think that that was such a catalyst for me to say, it doesn't need to be like this. It's not going to be like this for me. And I'm going to find a way. And one of the things that I've said since a really young age is there's a lot of things that happen in your life that are controllables and there's things that are uncontrollables, right? Being financially free, that's a controllable. That's something where you can utilize your God-given brain, your talent, your energy. You can learn the skills that are required to build financial freedom. And we're all invited to do that. And so that kind of set me on a journey. So many different jobs in college, 5 different jobs while I was working to, you know, pay my way through college, starting in a Fortune 500, working my way up to the top of the corporate ladder really quickly, and then building my businesses online. And I think that it's such an important thing for us all to remember that every experience that we have in our life is an invitation and an opportunity to say, do I want more of this or do I want something different? And then to do something about it. If you want more of it, then ask yourself, how did this happen? Why did this happen? How do I take this and grow it exponentially? And if it's an experience that you didn't like, that you don't ever want to have again, well, then that's why we have free will and we're given the opportunity to go out and make new decisions, different decisions to make life different.
So I do know something really unique in your story is that you actually were an NFL cheerleader. You're super attractive. You're very fit. And a lot of women actually would have just leaned into that and not strived for much more. But you actually went off and quit and got a sales position, entry level in a Fortune 500 company. When I think a lot of girls in your position would have just stayed on that cheerleader track, why did you do that?
Yeah. My defining moment was when I was the youngest girl on the NFL team. I cheered in college. It was one of my 5 jobs that I had during school. And I loved it. I loved performing. I loved being on the team. I loved everything about it. People were always like, oh, are the girls so catty? No, actually, there were scientists and teachers and real estate agents and all these amazing women. And I loved that experience. But my first year, I was so excited. They used to do a swimsuit calendar on a tropical island for years and years and years. And it was this huge PR event. And this is where everyone got all the opportunities for modeling and talent agencies and performing and all these things. Well, they make the announcement the first year that I'm on, we're not doing that anymore. Now we're doing a lingerie calendar. And I was like, oh, hell no. So I actually went to them and I was like, sorry, I'm not doing it. And I just was like, I'm really going to miss out on all of these opportunities because I was a performer. I was a competitive dancer, competitive cheerleader. I definitely was progressing on that track, but I was like, I'm not doing that. I want to get married. I want to have kids someday. I want to be able to look my daughter in the eyes and be like, this is the choice that I made in that defining moment. And that was when I really decided, no, my life is going to be about using my brains, not my body. And that's when I really got serious about saying, okay, I'm going to really go deep into the world of business because that's not how I'm going to make my name. That's not how I'm going to create my career.
I love that. I love that so much. And so you ended up going into sales in a Fortune 500 company, and then you quickly became a VP and jumped over people twice your age. Why do you think you were so naturally good at sales?
I think because I always focused more on listening. So my approach to sales, and I've now taught thousands and thousands of people the same approach, is really about understanding what someone's needs are and how you can provide a solution for them that can make a difference in their life. And I think there's so many different ways of learning sales, so many different ways of doing sales. So many people, especially in online marketing, think that it's all about the pitch or it's about the hook or it's about this, it's about that. And to me, it's a transfer of inspiration and it's sharing an effective invitation for someone to change their life. And I think if that's the energy that you carry, it makes a huge difference. Now, that said, I also was the hardest working person. So let's just be really honest. I was the first one in, I was the last one out every day. So that didn't hurt, right? Like, a lot of it was just simple discipline, grit, consistency over time, all of that. But from the standpoint of sales effectiveness, I think it was definitely a focus on listening and making a difference and actually being of service. And I think that that's one of those things that whenever those are your intentions, you can pretty much guarantee that even if you don't win in that moment, you're going to win big down the road. So I think that's just a great life principle in anything that we do.
And I have to say, I have to assume that you also having all these unique experiences, being a performer, being a dancer, being a woman, I feel like all of those, you probably figured out how to use that to your advantage.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. People always say like, oh, you know, I did this job or I worked for this company and I hated it, or they don't use their past experience when they're building their entrepreneurial companies. And I always say to people, every experience that you've had in your life is something that is a connection point for people that are searching for you. They're searching for what you do and what you teach, plus someone that also either has this life experience, this business experience, this life pathway, you know, whatever it is. And that's why it's so important to not assume that your business starts the day that you started your business. Your business started with every life experience that you had leading you up to why you created that business to begin with. And then that's your opportunity to really give depth to the relationship that you're building with the market that you're serving.
Totally. So last time we talked, we went really deep into like your side hustle, how you built it. I don't want to cover that because there's so much other material to cover, but can you just give us high level, like talk to us about how much you've done with your business since you took it from side hustle to then launching it? Brag a little bit so people understand like how big your business is.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll just give like a little bit of the trajectory. So I was a senior vice president in a Fortune 500 company. I started my business as a side hustle. I did it on the side for over 5 years, actually. Built my business to $1 million while I was working full-time. Joined entrepreneurship full-time within 2 years, took my business to 8 figures. And then over the last couple years, actually built out a portfolio. Now I have 6 companies. Several of them million and multi-million dollar companies. And obviously, I still have my first business and I love that business. That's the business advisory. That's my crown jewel that we keep growing and refining. And now I have all these other subsidiaries and satellite businesses that I've been building. And it's just been really cool, really fun, enjoying the journey. I don't recommend that most people have 6 companies, but for me, I love leadership. My whole background is in leading people. So I have teams in each of these companies, and I have leadership, and I have really strong staff, and I've been focused for 10 years. And so now, as I'm growing my newer companies, I'm able to promote people from my first company into my second company, into my third company. So I don't recommend that unless you have that background. But for me, because I teach business and because I'm a business mentor, it's very important to me that one, I stay connected to the journey that my clients are going through. So I may be running a multi 8-figure company, but I still want to be in tune with and in touch with my clients that are still in the startup phase, which is why I love having businesses that are at all the different phases of the journey. The other thing that's really important to me is really understanding different business models, different price points, different go-to-market strategies. And so that was one of the other reasons why I've built my companies and the portfolio the way that I have, because I don't want to be teaching through the lens of a singular approach to doing things. And I found that what has happened in the online space is a lot of people that are teaching business, they don't have depth and breadth of experience. And so what happens is they know their one thing. And when their one thing tilts off a little bit, they're screwed, their clients are screwed, and now everybody's screwed. So my focus is how do I really deepen and strengthen my depth and breadth of experience as a business mentor so that when I'm teaching business, I can teach from a very well-rounded perspective of what's right for this person sitting in front of me, not what's the one thing I recommend because it's the only one thing that I know, right? And that is a very, very, very important distinction for people to understand when they're choosing to learn business from someone. So this is a journey for me that I want to build the portfolio to 9 figures. I'm going to work for the next 10 years to do that. I think I can get the portfolio to 9 figures within 10 years. But for me, it's really as much about the learning experience and how that learning experience will actually be enriching for the people that I'm here to help as it is about the goal or the outcome or what level of success any one of these companies is able to achieve.
Let's hold that thought and take a quick break with our sponsors.
Young and Profiters, we are all making money. But is your money hustling for you? Meaning, are you investing? Putting your savings in the bank is just doing you a total disservice. You got to beat inflation.
I've been investing heavily for years. I've got an E-Trade account. I've got a Robinhood account. And it used to be such a pain to manage all of my accounts. I'd hop from platform to platform. I'd always forget my Fidelity password, and then I have to reset my password. I knew that needed to change because I need to keep track of all my stuff. Everything got better once I started using Yahoo Finance, the sponsor of today's episode. You can securely link up all of your investment accounts in Yahoo Finance for one unified view of your wealth. They've got stock analyst ratings. They have independent research. I can customize charts and choose what metrics I want to display for all my stocks so I can make the best decisions. I can even dig into financial statements and balance sheets of the companies that I'm curious about. Whether you're a seasoned investor or looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Hey, Yap Fam, starting my LinkedIn Secrets Masterclass was one of the best things I've ever done for my business. I didn't have to waste time figuring out all the nuts and bolts of setting up a website that had everything I needed, like a way to buy my course, subscription offerings, chat functionality, and so on, because it was super easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your first product, finally taking your side hustle full-time, or making $500,000 from your masterclass like me. And it doesn't matter if you're selling digital products or vegan cosmetics. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered as you scale. Stop those online window shoppers in their tracks and turn them into loyal customers with the internet's best converting checkout. I'm talking 36% better on average compared to other options out there. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from huge shoe brands like Allbirds to vegan cosmetic brands like Thrive Cosmetics. Actually, back on episode 253, I interviewed the CEO and founder of Thrive Cosmetics, Carissa Bodnar, and she told me about how she set up her store with Shopify and it was so plug and play. Her store exploded right away. Even for a makeup artist type girl with no coding skills, it was easy for her to open up a shop and start her dream job as an entrepreneur. That was nearly a decade ago. And now it's even easier to sell more with less thanks to AI tools like Shopify Magic. And you never have to worry about figuring it out on your own. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, so you can focus on the important stuff, the stuff you like to do. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/profiting, and that's all lowercase. If you want to start that side hustle you've always dreamed of, if you want to start that business you can't stop thinking about, if you have a great idea, what are you waiting for? Start your store on Shopify. Go to shopify.com/profiting now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Again, that's shopify.com/profiting. Shopify.com/profiting for a $1 per month trial period. Again, that's shopify.com/profiting. I love that. That's so smart. And I really appreciate how you're so thoughtful about making sure that the businesses that you design feed into each other and help you learn about how you can be a better business coach and all that kind of stuff. So I love that. When you first started your company, did you already have kids and a husband?
No. I was dating my husband for a couple years while I was still in corporate. And then I don't remember if we got engaged first or if I started the business first, but I was already with my husband. I didn't have a business. I was already with my husband and we had been together for years. I started the business. And then just as my business started taking off, I found out I was pregnant with Madison. And I was like, oh shit. Like, what? So that was crazy and awesome. Obviously, we were, you know, so excited and so thrilled. Madison's about to turn 10 this month. And that was amazing. But that was also a huge new learning curve for me because now my biggest focus in my life is my family, right? And so figuring that out was really key. But I'm actually super thankful because I was still working my full-time job. So I had to learn how to run and grow my business in really small increments of time. And actually,
what that created for me was the discipline that even now that I am a full-time entrepreneur, I still feel like I'm able to put my family first and have time for my faith and be able to invest in other areas of my life that matter, because I was never one of those entrepreneurs that was working 80 hours a week in my business simply because I couldn't. It just was off the table. But for me, it worked out great because I had to figure out how to be more efficient. I had to figure out how to do this thing without leaning on all the hours, but instead being better and more intentional about what I was doing to get a result in less time.
I'm going to dig deep on this because I think that a lot of women are facing this issue. Even I am facing this issue of it is very hard to figure out how to build a family and build a business. So now I'm in my mid-30s. I was with somebody for like 12 years and we broke up because he didn't want me to start my business. This was like 3 years ago. And I've been dating, but I haven't been able to find a person who feels secure with what I'm doing, who understands, and who would accept the fact that I have this baby that's not a real baby. It's my business. What do you think as a woman you need to do to build a business that prioritizes family? Because I think a lot of women want a business and a family now.
I think knowing what your values are and being clear about them. And I think to your point, Hala, finding a spouse. My husband and I were having this conversation this weekend. Your marriage is the greatest form of generational wealth that you can ever pass down. Because if you look at all the experiences that we've all had in our own lives, good and bad, your whole family tree gets reshaped by having a great marriage. And I think the first step in answering that question that you just asked, how do you have a business and have a family and be able to do both of these things, is you have to choose someone that is going to be all in supporting you to both pursue your dreams, go as high and as far as you can possibly go, be all in on supporting you, but also know that it's going to be this balancing act. And so I think good for you that you made that choice, both when you were like, I want to have both and I need this support to do it, and also taking your time to find someone that's going to be supportive of that. Because I would say you have to have as strong of a team at home as you do in the office. And that's rule number one. I've actually recorded a bunch of podcasts about it, because so many women, they say they want to have a family and they want to have a business, but then they don't set themselves up at home with the right support system to make that viable. I'll hear from women that are like, and I'm still cleaning the kitchen at 10 o'clock at night and I'm doing dishes and I'm doing laundry and I'm doing this. And it's like, no, if you want to be a CEO, if you want to be paid like a CEO, you need to act like one. And that means that you need to have support at home. Now, not everyone is going to have a spouse. For me, Billy and I made the decision. He's home full time. So he runs our home. He manages our vendors. He is driving Madison to school and picking her up every day. We have a system, but we also have help. And not everybody has that with their spouse, where their spouse is going to be home. Not everybody's spouse wants to be home. Not everybody's spouse is able to be home. That's okay. But you have to staff at home, right? So it's either going to be you and your spouse and then added help, or it's going to be you and a lot of added help, knowing that both you and your spouse are going to be out in the workforce, right? I actually put together a training for my clients on this, showing it's a 40 to 60 hour a week set of responsibilities at home that either need to be divided between you and your spouse on top of your full-time jobs, or you need to get help to do it. And I think the reason why it's so hard for so many women is they have guilt or shame, or they don't believe that they're worthy or deserving of having the support and help that they need at home to manage those other things so that they can build their business. And then what happens is they're just burning the candle at both ends, and they can't meet the needs either place. They can't meet the needs in the home. They can't meet the needs in the office. And then they have no time for their relationship with their children, with their husband, and then everything implodes. I know this is a really long answer to your question. It's a topic that I'm really, really passionate about.
I think it's becoming more and more important. I think a lot of women are single now because of this.
This is what's happening. And I have been speaking more and more and more about this because I think there's a lot of unrealistic expectations that need to be broken down, both in business and at home, in order to make it viable. And I also think that you have to understand that every moment that you spend at home cleaning, doing dishes, doing laundry, doing tasks that someone can be doing for you, That's a moment that you're not spending with your spouse, with your children. That is so, so, so precious. In business, when you're building a team, if someone can do it better, faster, and cheaper than you can, you should get help. But you need to think about your team in the office and your team at home, and you have to make sense out of this equation. It's a mathematical equation. There's only a set number of hours each day. Prioritizing family means that you need to accommodate for that all the way down and pull that all the way through. So I think it's one, being with a person that's going to support you and going to be all in on that, and being clear on your roles in the family, I think is huge. And I think the more that women can be empowered to be clear about that when they're getting into a relationship, they're going to be set up for success for the long term. And then I think the other part of it is the evolution of women at work is much earlier in its historical trajectory than men. And so there's a massive dynamic change that's happened in the last 20 years of now a lot of women being the breadwinners, a lot of women that are working outside of the home. But what's happened is, although the evolution of women at work has changed, the evolution of women at home has not in a lot of instances. And that's our responsibility. That's not someone's job to come in and do for us. We have to take the bull by the horns and say, I'm going to lead the family in this way. And that means I'm going to need support and help in these other areas. And I think we need to speak about that, right? And encourage women to give themselves that gift of freedom to be able to make millions of dollars and put their family first and have the support so that they're not burning themselves out in the process of doing that.
Yeah. And I'm seeing a lot of these really successful female entrepreneurs. Jenna Kutcher is another example. Her husband is a stay-at-home dad. So what was that conversation like with your husband? Did he have to quit his career?
Yeah. So we were both working corporate jobs when we met and started dating. And then when we started talking about a family, this is before we were engaged, before we were married, before we had Madison, we both had decided that we did not want to put our children in daycare. So we made the decision before we moved forward with our family that we didn't want to put our children in daycare, that we wanted to fully raise them ourselves, and that we wanted to make sure that our core focus was on family and building a life together, right? And then during that time, I started my business. The business started to take off. I became really passionate about the work. And Billy was working his corporate job, and he was like, this isn't the passion of my life. And so it just made sense for us because we already knew what we wanted. And what we wanted was to both be home. We wanted to both be working out of the home. We wanted to be both able to put our family first and be able to really put a focus on our children, our family, as our family grew. And it just made sense. And I'm really lucky. And I do say I am privileged because I have a husband that was willing to embrace his role becoming full-time focus on our family, our home, Madison, the things that are needed. And it's a big job and it's a lot. I think as business owners, we think we do a lot. I think a lot of times people that have never been home full-time don't realize how significant and how heavy that responsibility is too, because you are also feeling all the things that your partner or your spouse are going through, but you can't do anything about it. So we were really lucky in that way because it was a very just natural evolution for us. And it just fit in with our life plan, which was we wanted freedom. We wanted to be able to travel. We wanted to be able to be home with our children. We wanted to be able to prioritize family. And I knew the reason that I wanted to build this business was not just to make a difference and be of service, but also so that those other family goals could be met. Because in corporate, I was traveling all the time. I was on planes and trains and I was away. I was managing 17 branches. So I had that experience of what it looks like to be out in the world like that. And I was like, I'm never going to be able to have a relationship with my husband or my daughter in the way that I want to if I don't rearrange these chess pieces. So I think life design is really important. And I think that we forget, we dream so much about the goals that we want to have in our business, or we dream about the income that we want to make, or people have dreams of things that they want to accomplish. And I think a lot of times what people forget is life design. You get to design your life, but you have to be thoughtful and intentional and spend hours thinking and talking about what you want life to look like. And I think that sometimes we forget we have so much power We have so much power to create change in our lives and to make things look how we want them to look. And sometimes how we want them to look looks really different from where we're sitting. Maybe someone listening to this podcast today is like, you're talking about all these things, Kelly, but I don't have that support system and I don't have this and I don't have that. And I fully understand that. And so you're being called to consider, what is a new decision that needs to be made? What is that next step in courage that you need to make that takes you from saying, I don't have that support, I don't have that potential, I don't have that structure, I don't have that in place, it's not possible to me, to making a decision that will begin to make that possible for you? Just like my day on the lunch line where I was like, never again. And we all have the opportunity every time something happens in our life, maybe for you, it's listening to this podcast today, to be like, what am I tolerating? Because what we tolerate, we perpetuate. So sometimes it's just a little pattern interrupt that we're like, I'm going to make a different decision.
One more question for you on this family approach to business. Men like to provide, and it's their nature to provide. I feel like when they don't have purpose or they're not providing, they can get really insecure and feel like they're not contributing. So I have a couple questions on this. Does your husband have equity in your business? Is he actually working in your business, or is he completely separated from the business?
Yeah, that was another thing that we talked a lot about and that we've been very definitive about. He does not work in the business. He's on the payroll as a risk consultant because I will bring him in if I have a very specific situation that comes up that I want unbiased feedback on, where I don't want someone that has an agenda outside of our family. But he does not work at all in the business. And that has been another life-changing decision. Life-changing decision. Because I don't want to sit at dinner every night after I worked all day long and talk all night long about the business. So what happens so many times is this idea of working together sounds very romantic and wonderful and amazing. And would it be great to have extra set of hands in my business? Sure. But do I want to take my marriage and turn it into a business partnership on my side? No, thank you. There are lots of people that do this that would say the exact opposite, that work in their business together. They love it. It's great for them. They wouldn't have it any other way. On my side, heck no. I want my marriage to be about our life. I want my marriage to be about our relationship. When we're sitting and having dinner, I just want to talk to Madison about her day. I want to be focused on what we're doing, what we're creating as a family. And so that was another definitive decision that we made, that he's not in the business. And that's why, I mean, he certainly could be, and he's more than capable. And I'm sure he asks me all the time. He's like, do you want me to come in? Do you want? And I'm like, no, like, I'm so happy with our life dynamic that I would never want to mess with that just to get a little further ahead in the business.
Okay, I do have one last question on this because it's so interesting. Do you think two entrepreneurs can make it work? Or do you feel like that's tough?
I mean, I'm never going to say never, right? Because I'm sure there's always examples of everything. Just like when we talk about marketing, right? It's like, it all works. You can find an example of every single marketing strategy that works. I'm sure you can find an example of two entrepreneurs that work. What I will say is that the divorce rate is climbing and climbing for a reason. And when you don't have time together as a couple to talk, to dream, to focus on your life, to focus on your children, to be emotionally available for each other, to be present. Because you know, Hala, you know what it's like. When you run a company, it is so hard to switch that off. It is so hard to switch that off. Now imagine both people in the relationship are carrying that burden with them from the moment that they wake up in the morning until the moment that their head hits the pillow. It's not surprising why that doesn't work in a lot of instances. So again, am I like against that? No. I actually have a couple clients of ours that do very, very well that either work together or both have businesses. So it's not a philosophical difference. For me, it's experiential. What do you want your life design to be? For me, I would never want to be in a relationship with another entrepreneur because it would be very difficult for us to create space that was pure, that was just ours.
We'll be right back after a quick break from our sponsors.
Young and Profiters, I've been a full-time entrepreneur for about 4 years now, and I finally cracked the code on hiring. I look for character, attitude, and reliability. But it takes so much time to make sure a candidate has these qualities on top of their core skills in the job description. And that's why I leave it to Indeed to do all the heavy lifting for me. Indeed is the most powerful hiring platform out there, and I can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. With Yap Media growing so fast, I've got so much on my plate, and I'm so grateful that I don't have to go back to the days where I was spending hours on all these other different inefficient job sites, because now I can just use Indeed. They've got everything I need. According to US Indeed data, the moment Indeed sponsors a job, over 80% of employers get candidates whose resumes are a perfect match for the position. One of my favorite things about Indeed is that you only have to pay for applications that meet your requirements. No other job site will give you more mileage out of your money. According to Talent Nest 2019, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Join the more than 3 million businesses worldwide who count on Indeed to hire their next superstar. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/profiting. Offer is good for a limited time. I'm speaking to all you small and medium-sized business owners out there who listen to the show. This is basically free money. You can get a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/profiting. Claim your $75 sponsored job credit now at Indeed.com/profiting. Again, that's Indeed.com/profiting, and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/profiting. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I love this. I love that we had this conversation. I feel like it's such a hot topic. I want to shift into talking about customers, getting customers, launching, selling, all that stuff. A lot of my listeners are on the younger side. I've got listeners of all ages, but a lot of them are not entrepreneurs yet, wanting to be entrepreneurs. And I've heard you say lately that you feel like this space is really shifting. The marketplace in general is shifting. What customers want is shifting. Can you give us some insight on that?
I love what I see happening in the market. I've seen a massive shift in buying mentality in the last 90 days. We onboarded almost 200 clients in the last 2 months. And what we're seeing and what we're hearing is that the currency of integrity has just exploded. And what I mean by that is, I think when we were in a big expansion cycle, people were just so focused on what can this person do for me? What can I get? What's the outcome? All of those things, which is fine, right? You know, if you have a great product or a great service, cool. But what I keep hearing from people over and over again is, I trust you. I trust your organization. I believe in the values that you share about. A lot of people have been coming to us and saying, and we sell obviously high ticket, you know, so people are spending $30,000, $50,000, $80,000 when they're joining a lot of my products. And they're saying, you have been so outspoken and truthful about the dynamics of what's happening in the market and the shifts and the changes. And you were one of the only people that was really sharing, here are the things like we don't know yet. And these are the things that we're doing testing on. And these are the things that we need to explore. So that's why I say the currency of integrity. I think that people are making decisions much more through the lens of values now. And they're looking for people and organizations to partner with that they genuinely feel reflect the values that matter to them, and that there's a congruence and an alignment in that beyond just a product or a service or the outcome that you can get from it. I think also what's happened is there's been just a huge collapse of trust in the market, because 2023, there were more business closures than the last, I don't even know, probably 10 years. If you look at the chart of business closures, it's a hockey stick to the moon. And that is continuing in the first quarter of the year as well. And I think that there's been a lot of trust loss, because a lot of business owners have started doing really like frantic and fast pivots. And some of it business closure, some of it's programs being shut down, some of it's complete business changes, niche changes, focus changes, very, I'll call it erratic behavior. And no judgment, because listen, the last couple of years were hard. You know what I mean? So like, I get it. I'm not judging anyone. everyone is doing their best in that given moment. And different people have different levels of business expertise and capability and all of that. So it is what it is. But when you ask me what is happening in the market from a buyer mindset, from a buyer inclination, they're watching this erratic behavior from so many people that when they see brands that are really focused on continuity, trust building, consistency, core messaging, values, and they feel like they know what to expect from a brand, they feel a lot safer investing in the brand. And so we've had great years in the past. We've had bad years, good years. I've been through every season and cycle of business. I've been in business since 2012 for myself. I feel like this year we're just seeing all the ships rise already just a couple months in as payback for that consistency that they saw from us of unwavering focus and diligence and customer-centric behavior over the last year. As things were getting so insane and crazy, we were like, nope, we're here. We're here. We're steady. We're consistent. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. And another piece of this that I'd love for you to touch on is this element of people wanting more intimacy, wanting to actually speak to the companies that they might work with or the people that they might work with, and not just relying on this automation of technology that so many people are relying on.
Oh my God, it's massive. We could do a whole show about this, Ala, because it's so fascinating. And this goes back to conviction marketing. And conviction marketing will always be the core of that methodology of self-trust and be willing to zig when everybody else zags. Starting in 2023, we saw this explosion of people leveraging AI, starting to do their content through AI. They're firing their copywriter because they want to use AI. And everybody wants to over-digitize, automate. But what's happening is customers are voting with their dollars to say, I don't want that. I want to work with a person. I want to speak with a member of the team. I want to have a relationship with my service provider. And so it's really, really interesting because, especially in the space that I'm in, a lot of my peers and competitors immediately pivoted in 2023 to launching, leveraging AI, writing copy using AI, like everything my competitors were doing. And I was out here screaming, no, like it's about the human-centric approach. It's about the relationship. And we're seeing that in the growth of my businesses. So I think there's a time and place for automation. I have a black belt Six Sigma that runs the operations for my largest company. And so we will leverage technology and automation on the back end of repetitive tasks where it doesn't take away from the human-centric focus of the business and the brand. But I think people should really move with caution around that because people are sick of dialing into a system. They're sick of tech where they can't get a human. They're frustrated by spending money and making buying decisions and then not being able to access support. And they're making decisions differently. It's not like they're just getting frustrated and then they're continuing to buy that way. They're getting frustrated and then they're making a different buying decision. So this is just a massive opportunity because, you know, you and I have had this conversation, Hala, obviously with what you're doing with the podcast agency. Brand building is the most valuable thing that an entrepreneur or business owner can focus on, which is why what you do is so important and so powerful. And I've been talking so much lately about the tortoise and the hare, right? Because I think that a lot of what's happening in the market right now is there's this huge separation happening of the people that choose the fast, easy button and they're really struggling. And then there's the people that chose the slow and steady wins the race. And from my view, and I'm seeing it with my own customers as well, I mean, they're exploding right now. And what's happening is I think that slow and steady wins the race approach, it's translating to the market. And people, like I said, they're voting with their dollars. That's the kind of service provider they want to work with.
Totally. I'm so aligned with everything that you're saying. And by the way, guys, I know that Kelly touched on conviction marketing. We did a whole hour-long episode, episode number 155. Go check that out. I highly, highly recommend it. Also recommend Conviction Marketing, the book. So we have about 10 minutes left. And speaking of this, having more of a client-facing approach, actually having two-way communication, you've got this live launch method, which I know incorporates a lot of that. Can you give us like a high level of what that is?
I've been teaching the live launch since 2018. I wrote a book on it, trademarked the methodology. It became common vernacular in the online marketing space, but a lot of people have learned it from someone other than me. And so there is the live launch. And I just want to clarify that. And if you're interested, you guys can look up my brand and get the book and all of those things. But the live launch method, Hala, going back to what you were asking me earlier about sales, is really about taking this heart of leading by giving, serving, teaching, really focusing on connecting with your market and your audience, leveraging the power of intuition, two-way communication. And it's creating these virtual live experiences that move people through an awareness shift. They get information, education, inspiration, contextualization, implementation, and then ultimately you make an invitation. And it's a process and a system that you bring people through that allows them to get to a yes. And it doesn't require any high-pressure selling tactics. It doesn't require any slick, crazy, weird, pressure-filled marketing tactics. It's just leading people to come to the conclusion that, yes, this is the experience, the result, and the team that I want to partner with. And so there's a lot that goes into the way that we teach the method. And I actually just did a full update, 9 hours of teaching on all of the updates because the market has shifted, right? The market has shifted. Buyer mentality has shifted. So we made a lot of changes to the way that we teach the strategy for 2024. But I do those workshops periodically. There's going to be another one in April that people can come and learn for free the method. But I would say definitely if you're listening to the show and you don't have a one-to-many selling mechanism that is working in your business yet, the live launch is a great methodology to explore, especially if, you know, similar to Hala and I, you really want a methodology that is service-based, that focuses on inspiring, educating, empowering, and inviting in a meaningful way that feels really good both ways. And we tend to teach people to use the live launch method with high-ticket products, but you can also use it with mid-ticket. Some people use it with low-ticket. So there's lots of different formats and platforms that you can deliver it on.
Yeah. And from my understanding, these live workshops, I'm having so much success with webinars. It sounds like a more concerted effort around many webinars, right? I can even imagine the results. So I can't wait to join that free session that you have. And I'd love for you to come back on and promote it before that happens so that we can really talk deep about that.
Oh, I would so love that. I would so love that. Yeah. And that's what I would say. It's like taking what you do in a webinar and it's exploding it 10x, 100x, because it's taking those same principles, except the only difference is from a psychological standpoint, people need 7 to 9 hours to engage with your brand to really go through the whole know, like, trust, buy process. So all it's doing is condensing the buying cycle down. So maybe instead of someone attending 3 webinars, maybe they'll need less than that. But my favorite thing about the live launch is that it really allows you to position your business as a category of one, because you design your launch once and you do launch cycles over and over again. So what that allows you to do is you become known, you become the go-to for that thing. So what I love about the live launch, because people are always asking me, do you do them paid? Do you do them for free? I always do them for free. And the reason I do them for free is I want to focus on people getting so much value from interacting with my brand that every person that experienced that live launch, they're either going to be a customer, be a future customer, or they're going to be an ambassador that tells someone else that ends up becoming a customer, right? So There's a lot of value beyond just the sales transaction in the experience that you're creating.
I can completely understand. I feel like for somebody like me, I've got podcasts to trust me with, all this social proof. I'm already dominating my field. So it makes sense that somebody can go to an hour-long webinar and convert a high-ticket offer. But for somebody who doesn't have that, you need to warm them up. Same reason why I feel like I personally hate paid ads. Do you suggest doing paid ads for lead generation for any of this, or is it all organic?
I do both. So we just finished a launch in January and we did a mix. We did a little bit of paid advertising, a lot of organic. So we do a mix. And I think advertising plays a role and it has its place. I love organic. I think the degree to which you can build that rapport and engagement with your audience is huge, right? And then I think advertising is a way that you can enhance it even further. But I think especially for someone listening to this show, if you're earlier on in the process, you want to start building your brand, building your audience, building your rapport, and you should start by doing it organic. And then maybe down the line, you'll expand and build upon that.
Okay, one last question, then we're going to have to close this out. How do you suggest that we price our offer?
Oh gosh, that's such a good question. That is a complex question. The thing is, when someone invests in one of your products, services, or programs, you want what they spend to feel really insignificant in comparison to the outcome that they achieve. So you want to think about, what do you want to invest in this product in order to maximize the potential for transformation, result, or outcome that it can create? And so I always lean on the high end. I always recommend that people price in the 75th percentile of the span, because when you look at any product, any market, there's a low end and there's a high end, right? I always say there's Walmart, there's Louis Vuitton. You can be the kind of brand that you want to be. You can place yourself where you want to be. What I tell to people all the time is that a lot of people underprice their business and then they think that they'll get more business because of it. And a lot of times what that does is it actually mispositions you in the market, because now you're looking like a novice, right? You're not looking like you're the best in the world at what you do. So it's a complex conversation, because I think that it depends on the outcome that people get. It depends on, for example, when I price my products, I'm looking at how do I want to staff this product? And what is that investment from me going to require to staff this product in a way that we can way over deliver for clients? So there's a big difference between if you're doing a digital product that doesn't require any human touch, no interaction, no anything, versus if you're staffing a high product where there's actually client delivery. And so your strategy has to be very different depending upon the outcome, the client experience, the results that you want them to be able to get, and what you need to spend in order to make sure that that product is exceptional.
Okay, well, I want to be super respectful of your time. Kelly, I'd love for you to come back to have like a very sales, the live launch focus before that launch. So let's coordinate that. So what is one actionable thing our young and profiters can do today to become more profiting tomorrow?
Oh, well, I would say get on podcasts. Come talk to Hala. Figure out how you can get on more podcasts. I think that there's nothing more beneficial or valuable to do with your time than build brand, because brand always supersedes a single sale. Brand will help you make multiple sales, whereas a single sale is just a transaction. So take action by either starting your own podcast, getting on other people's, or ideally both, growing your show and going on other people's. And it's a great way to get clear on articulating your message, which is going to then translate into your sales, your marketing, your growth strategy, all of those other things. The more that you speak about what you believe and about what you teach and about what you want to serve on, the easier it's going to become to sell it.
Okay, and my last question, and you can be super short because I know you got to go. What is your secret to profiting in life?
It's just staying focused. I think the biggest thing is get clear on what you really, really, really want and say no to everything that isn't that.
Kelly, you've been amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Where can everybody learn more about you and all of your programs?
Yeah, I would definitely say check out The Kelly Roach Show. That's my favorite place to serve and teach and give. So The Kelly Roach Show, and then connect with me. Connect with me on Facebook, Kelly Roach, or Instagram, Kelly Roach Official.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I just loved having Kelly back on the show. She really inspired me the last time she was on, and today was no different. I love how she's figured out how to leverage her unique experiences as a performer, a dancer, a woman, into multiple successful businesses that she has today. She is a true powerhouse. And somehow she's managed to balance all of that while being a mom and a wife and having beautiful relationships. I was really struck by what she said about how your business doesn't start the day you launch your business. Your business actually starts with every life experience you've had leading up to the day you start your business. As Kelly puts it, every experience that you've had in your life is something that is a connection point for people that are searching for you and what you teach. Kelly has also had some helpful insights on the shifting marketplace that many entrepreneurs are encountering in 2024. She said she's observing what she calls the currency of integrity. More buyers and customers are making decisions through the lens of their values. They're looking for people and organizations to partner with that they genuinely feel reflect the values that matter most to them. And one of those values is actually human connection. In a world where so many businesses are leveraging AI and automated technologies, there's now a premium on being able to provide somebody with a genuine human interaction, with intimacy. It's all about building trust directly with other people, whether you do that through a webinar, a podcast, or in person. AI can be amazing and it's a useful tool, but don't let it become your core focus or default MO. There's still no substitute to the human touch. Thanks for listening to this episode of Young and Profiting Podcast. If you listened, learned, and profited from this conversation with the incredible Kelly Roach, please reach out to another person and share this episode. Just hit that share button and text the link to this episode to somebody who you think could benefit from it. Believe me, they'll thank you for it. And if you did enjoy this show and you learned something new, then please take some time to drop us a 5-star review. Nothing makes me happier than reading your awesome reviews. We love to hear from our listeners. If you prefer to watch your podcast as videos, you can find all of our episodes published on YouTube. Just look up Young and Profiting. You can also look me up on LinkedIn, Hala Taha, and you can find me on Instagram at Yap with Hala. Before we wrap up, I did want to shout out my incredible Yap team. Thank you so much for all your hard work. Shout out to my production team, my ad ops team, my social team, the entire executive team. This is your host, Hala Taha, aka the podcast princess, signing off.